Still a bit early, so we wait for another 1 or 2 minutes. In the meantime, those who are responsible for puja offering, you can come forward and light the incense and the candle so that we can prepare for the puja. So today, who wants to come and light? Who is doing the puja offering? Oh, Padmasuri. Okay, we get Padmasuri and Tio. Okay, Padmasuri, say whoever wants also can. You can volunteer. Anybody hasn't done? Ah, yeah. Andrew, come. You do. Then who else? Pang also haven't done. One person like one item. Pang and Andrew. Go, go. Can get yourself ready. The lighter is down there. Okay. We can get ready for the puja now. Any more offering? If don't have, then we can start. Okay, can we stand? Get ready for the puja. The tray, the incense tray. Make the offering. Sadhu, 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 yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 The flower. The flower. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The orchid. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you can sit back, then we will start the puja. Okay, let us compose our mind, yeah? Develop the very important sadha of faith, followed by the spiritual zeal, virya. Then we will pay respect mindfully to Triple Gem. We will chant the Thai tradition. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Asavaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can get yourself seated. Turn to page 4 of our chanting book. We will chant the Vandana, then followed by the Tisaranana, the salutation to the Triple Gem. Then followed by the Panchasila, five precept renewal. Then after that, the Puja offering. Then we make our aspiration. Now we will start. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyam pi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyam pi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veramani sikkha samadhiyami. Musawada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Vivanachanda padipa puja. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsena tilokadipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dupenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana muttamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siripada sarorohe pujayami buddhang kasumena nena punnena matena ca chotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivasetu nobante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatu muttamang. Okay, turn to page 18. We will do the aspiration. Based on the understanding of the significance of all this offering, the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruitions soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas. sharing and transform merits to all. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who had the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Give your pure respect to Lord Buddha. Mindfully, yeah? Develop the sadha and the virya, then pay respect mindfully. Buddham pujami. Dhammam pujami. Sangham pujami. Okay. Now, you can be seated. You can be seated. Huh? Okay. Tonight, anybody who is first time here, completely, all you. Okay. You already know how to meditate? Oh, okay. Are you familiar with the... Oh, okay. You familiar with the Buddhist teaching? A bit, it's okay. So at least you are familiar with the puja procedure. Okay, in that case, I will give you some short instruction. Then after that, maybe we can give you some books. Okay, for those who are already here before and who already know how to meditate, we will off the light. Then you can start your meditation straight away. For those who are new, who still need instruction, I will give some form of brief instruction to train your mind. Later on, you can go back and read the book. There's a meditation guide. Okay. Oh, I got it in my car later. Okay. Basically, what we do here is to develop the training of our mind, to be ever mindful, so that we can use it to meditate, to develop wisdom and understanding. They call this vipassana meditation. So vipassana is a Pali word. We stand for the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, non-self, or empty nature. Then passana is to insight into phenomena. Then I have here the two set of important. Essential Dhamma that the Buddha spoke about. The first set is the mental hindrance, five mental hindrance. Second set is the opposite five, which is the spiritual faculties. And to develop meditation, these are the first two categories of Dhamma that you have to understand. The Buddha said the reason why human beings' mind is not peaceful and you cannot develop the ability to be aware, silent, peaceful, to develop the meditation is because it has this five mental hindrance. In Pali, it's called pancha nivaranas. These five, they hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot have sati, which is very important to develop meditation. Without sati, you cannot be heedful. So mindfulness is very important. Sati is mindfulness. So the Buddha emphasized a lot on heedfulness, which is in Pali called apamada. So apamada is translated as heedfulness. When you are heedful, you are ever mindful to cultivate the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, to develop the appropriate wisdom to understand his teaching and to liberate your mind. So heedfulness can be translated as ever mindful to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. To be ever mindful, we need to train our mind to have mindfulness. So this is the first training. So all of meditation start with mental training to develop sati or mindfulness. Then after it's developed, you use it to meditate, to understand who you are, what is this fire aggregate of form and mind all about. Then after that, apply the Noble Eightfold Path and put it into cultivation to develop the wisdom to live life. The first category of Dhamma, the five hindrances, the English translation are listed on the whiteboard. First two are one pair, sensual desire and ill will. Like the word denote, it has a lot to do with your mental reaction, sense experience. When you desire something that arises through your sense experience, then it becomes a sensual desire. You have craving for the good state, the good state of consciousness that you have arisen. The second hindrance is ill will or dislike or unhappiness towards that sense experience. So these two are one pair, your like and dislike, your pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. And this one is related also to the three evil roots, the first two, greed and hatred. So when you have this evil root, the first two hindrances of mind will arise. Every time you see something or hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, if you react through your wrong view, then you will create these two hindrances, not sensual desire and ill will. If throughout the day you do it so often, it becomes habitual. So when it becomes habitual, this habitual tendency will make your mind not peaceful. Because every time you stir your mind to develop this pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. If it's pleasant, you are attached. If it's unpleasant, you want to push it away. So your mind is never peaceful, never in the state of equanimity. Then the third one is sleepiness. When you don't see the importance of meditation, how it can help you and benefit you in tremendous way, you will have sleepiness. Then the fourth one is restlessness of mind. Your mind becomes restless because there are problems. Problems of life. The first noble truth reality hit you. So when you worry about your health problem, financial problem, career problem, relationship problem, or life-related problem, all this can arise what they call restlessness of mind. Because when you have problem, you tend to have fear, worry, anxiety, unhappiness, sorrow and lamentation. So all this will lead to the mind restless, not peaceful. When you are restless, you cannot meditate. When you have fear, worry, anxiety, you cannot meditate. You are disturbed. So that's why people who have problems are the people who don't keep their precepts. So they land themselves into trouble. Then they have all this restless mind state. The last one is doubt. When you are not sure about the teaching, when you don't know how to develop the faith in the Buddha and his teaching, through reflecting, contemplating into how special the Buddha is, how wise and virtuous he is, and how wonderful his teaching is, because it can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now. Free your mind completely from all suffering and misery. So these five, they are very common in living beings, especially those who are not heedful, don't have the Dhamma, who don't cultivate, who don't train their mind. So to overcome these five hindrances, the Buddha said, you have to develop the five spiritual faculties, the opposite five. You don't have to fight them, suppress, control, or do anything. You just cultivate this opposite five. These opposite five are common sense, mind state. That's why we do it through our puja. First one is faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. So when you have faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, your mind will be very calm, very composed. And because you understand who the Buddha is, how wise he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. And to have him as a teacher, you will have a lot of gratitude towards him, a lot of respect towards him. So your faith become very different. Then when you understand how wonderful his teaching is, how it can help you to develop the inner peace, inner well-being, leading to the clarity of mind that can allow you to understand life and develop the wisdom to live life so that you don't have to worry about life, so that life is very peaceful, no more suffering. Yeah. So all this develops the faith. Then you become different. When you have faith, you don't have restlessness, you don't have doubt. Your mind is very clear, this is what you want. Then you will strive on to develop the second spiritual faculties, which is the spiritual zeal or tenacity to walk this way, to cultivate his teaching. Then this one is an energy, a drive within your heart. It's a, what they call tenacity, to cultivate, to determine to walk this way through sincerity, faith and perseverance. Then when virya arises, it will motivate you to cultivate sati or mindfulness. Sati or mindfulness is very important. Sati, the definition is awareness before the knowing. So every time when you just aware without the knowing, before the mind stir or arise, you are in sati. Like when you pay respect to the Buddha, body and mind move as one without thought. Then when you stand, you aware without thought, walk aware, mind and body as one. When you are silent without thought, you are already aware. So this one you need to train, you need to cultivate. That's why in this meditation, we train this spiritual faculty or sati. We will use some skillful means, which I will teach you later. Starting with the mind sweeping method, combined with metta, then train and stabilize it in anapana sati or any object of meditation that you are familiar with. Object of meditation are just skillful means to anchor the mind so that it stabilizes, so that it can become ever mindful. Then only it can meditate. When sati develop, mindfulness develop, the mind become very peaceful, very tranquil, very still, very silent. Then spiritual joy will arise, spiritual calmness will arise, leading to spiritual bliss and tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. Then as it stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is the collectedness or unwavering mind. The mind that is not stirred and not reactive and not disturbed in the midst of life. Yeah. When you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, the mind is very stable, collected and unwavering. With sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are very clearly, because there is no movement, there is clarity. That's why you can understand the teaching, you can understand truth, you can understand the reality. Then with that, you develop wisdom. When the five spiritual faculties fall into place, the hindrances are gone. When there is virya, you are not sleepy. Then when there is sati, mindfulness, there is no thought, hence no sensual desire and ill will. Then when there is samadhi, your mind is very calm, very collected, unwavering. That's why it's quiet most of the time. The trained mind is quiet, peaceful, just aware of it. Then the last one is wisdom. When there is wisdom, you're no longer deluded. All the hindrances are gone. So that's how you develop the meditation. So puja can help you to develop faith, sadha, virya, then you pay respect mindfully. So now, formal meditation, I will give you instruction on how to train this mind to have mindfulness. Okay? So for those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start. For those who are new or need instruction, I will give the instruction now. Okay, just make sure you have a stable posture. Check your backbone. Make sure it's straight. Breathe in, breathe out normally. Then relax body and mind. Just relax. Don't try to know anything. Just silent, peaceful. Then maintain some form of attention. Silent and just aware. Close your eye. Then feel. Don't think. Just feel. Feel your forehead. If you can detect any tightness, any stress within, or any tension, you just silently relax, relax and relax them all. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel, relax. Feel it suddenly relax. All of your eye muscles, ciliary muscle, suddenly relax, relax and relax. Then you move your attention down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Relax every strand of it. Feel it suddenly relax. Then in order to help you relax further, you visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. And when there is joy, when there is happiness, your body and mind naturally relax. When you have stress, problem, then it will not relax. Then it will tighten up. So you can use this radiant smile. Then we will continue with loving kindness meditation to bring about inner well-being. Mind sweeping method can bring about inner peace, but it doesn't bring about inner well-being. So loving kindness meditation will bring about inner well-being. We can recite as follow: May I, this body and mind of mine, of ours, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your physical body and mind, your entire being, every cells of it. Feel it soothingly, relax, happy and peaceful. Then you can repeat one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the inner well-being and happiness within, that joy, that happiness, within each and every cells within your body, your entire being. Then you can continue. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it. Physically no suffering, mentally no more suffering. Just peace, tranquility, stillness and happiness within. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May its mind state too without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate this love or metta to all your loved ones. May my loved ones too be well and happy. You can visualize them and radiate this love or metta from your heart to them. Then you can also wish them, may their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you radiate the same metta. May all beings within this vicinity of Sri Anand Mifong's house and all Kayanamita, including all cultivators, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and non trouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can radiate this same metta to all beings throughout the entire existence. May all beings within the entire of Subang Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, then our solar system, then our galaxy, Milky Way, and the entire universe, may all beings be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, just feel relaxed and feel relaxed. Then you move your attention down to your neck, feel relaxed. Shoulder, feel relaxed. Hand, back to shoulder, feel relaxed. Then you bring your attention down to your heart area, your chest area. You just feel, don't think. Feel and relax every part. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. Then you can stay there for a while. If you cannot, if you are new, your mindfulness is still not stable, not sensitive, then you can just let you feel your forehead. Relax into it. Then you move your attention down to your stomach. Feel, relax, don't think, just feel, relax. Then you move it down to your abdomen. Do the same, just silence your mind, feel and relax. Relax into everything. Then you move your attention or mindfulness down to your buttock. Feel, relax, leg, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole mind sweeping method upward. From the leg, you feel relaxed. Buttock, do the same. Feel relaxed. Then abdomen. Then stomach. Feel relaxed. Then chest area. Silence everything. Feel and relax. Then you move it to your hand, shoulder, back to hand, back to shoulder, then neck. Relax, feel and relax. Then facial muscle, feel, relax every strand. Then your eye muscle. Then your forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. This mind sweeping method is very useful. It will help you decondition your heedless thinking. It also helps to train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it will be there. Then you feel and relax, you don't think. So after a while, your mind will be deconditioned and become more calm and more peaceful. Then now, you have to stabilize this mindfulness that you have developed, the calm and peaceful mind. You can anchor it via anapanasati or any skillful means that you are familiar with, any object of meditation or mantra. If you don't have, then try anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath. You just maintain attention or awareness in front of your nostril and feel like you feel your forehead. Then breathe in, breathe out naturally. Then like the Buddha said, the moment you detect the breathing, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. You just train your mind in this way. If you are patient enough, anapanasati will stabilize. then your meditation will progress. Initially, the mind will tend to wander off because you are not used to the training. But be patient. Every time it wanders off, don't react. Just be at peace. Mindfully bring it back to your breathing. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Expect this to happen many times if you are new. Then as you develop the ability to do it, your mind will settle down very fast. Then when you are able to be mindful of this in and out breath, you will be very different. Your mind state will be very calm and very peaceful. Then you will experience a type of spiritual peace or bliss. They call it piti, a type of spiritual calmness that brings forth the calm and peaceful mind, which is aware within. So this piti, if you continue to relax into it, it will become more refined. Then you will experience sukha. Sukha is more peaceful than piti. You will reach a state of sukha, which is spiritual bliss. You will experience a very blissful mind state born of this training. When piti and sukha arise, you will like to meditate. You will like to develop this further. Then you should continue to relax into it. Allow it to be. Then this piti and sukha will transform too, until the mind enters the meditative state of peace, inner peace, silent awareness within. This inner peace, this silent mind, the silent inner awareness is called pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind. When the mind does not react, does not stir, is silent, is peaceful. So I will let you train your mind. I will ring the bell after about 20 minutes. What else still want to meditate? You can continue. For those who have not slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness they have developed. This is the trained mind. You should use this to develop the daily mindfulness, which is the real meditation. Ever mindful throughout the day, starting with your four posture, then link them up to develop mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and movement in the present moment. Then finally, when you are very stable in your mindfulness, when you are able to stabilize your mind until the mindfulness is very stable, very, very mindful throughout the day, ever mindful, quite continuous, then you can develop the daily mindfulness to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which is the ultimate cultivation. When you can do that, you have heedfulness. And according to the Buddha, if you are heedful, you will never die. You are destined for enlightenment. Just train your mind to be heedful, that's it. Whereas if you don't do that, the Buddha said the heedless eye is if dead. Means spiritually you don't have a chance. You are spiritually like a dead person. So heedfulness or mindfulness is very important. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 confirm all this. Okay, now we will do the invocation to the devas before we start our second session. Turn to page 6. I will read the invocation. Then after that, we will get Ingby to do the chanting. Invocation to the devas. In the universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and relays Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sattamam Muni Rajas Sunantu Sagamokadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Beso Bhagava Arahang Ma Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sukato Lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanam Buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehipasiko opanaiko Pachatam veditapo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato Saukasango Chupatipanno bhagavato Saukasango Yapatipanno bhagavato Saukasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato Saukasango Yaditam chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pukala Esa bhagavato saukasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyankitang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu Can we pay homage to Tripajam? Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami Supatipanno bhagavato saukasango sanghang namami Okay, you can be seated. Okay, now we will continue with the second session. You got any question regarding meditation or the Dhamma, you can ask. You can also report your meditation experience. Just describe exactly how you develop the meditation. Then you can ask any relevant question. Okay, anybody tonight want to report their meditation or ask any question related to Dhamma and meditation? Make full use of this session. Don't be shy. The thought is always shy, not you. So make full use of it. Oh, I think Eric got a question from the email. Yeah, you can ask. Yeah.
Okay, Brother Teo.
Yes.
I spell my email this morning to you.
Yeah.
This when I'm doing the meditation, I was trying out the second noble truth and the third noble truth.
Yes, I replied to you also.
Oh, I have not read.
Oh, you have not read. Okay. I will maybe After your question, I will read it out also. Okay, you can ask. Continue.
My question is during meditation and craving, there's so many images. And the faces of my
Your boss, everything come out.
And the words that was used. And
you know how the images come about, huh? You know how it come about, huh?
Because
that one is not slideshow like yours. It's different. This one is he uses thought. You try to answer that. Because you are using thought. You recall to mind how your boss scold you, how he use all these words against you, and all those colleagues that you have problem with. That's why when you recall through memory, when you think, memory create thought. Thought are respond to memory. So that's how it come out, all those images. Then you find that very difficult for you to calm down, and your mind like continue to proliferate, and you have more problem. Then later on you say you try to do the third noble truth. You want to practice letting go or cultivate letting go. Actually, technically, the second and third noble truth is not what you describe in your email. That's why I need to explain to you further so that you understand. Because when you do without understanding, that is the problem. That's how you get yourself entangled. And you use your thought without you knowing that it is thought-based meditation. Maybe this is how other people teach. But you need to understand clearly what is meditation. Like I always say, you are encouraged to actually develop the understanding of meditation so that you do with understanding. Meditation is to be done with understanding so that you have clear focus, so that you understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. Otherwise you become ungullible. So in this particular case, even Brother Eric has tried very hard. He really tried, he very sincere, but because he still didn't get it right. So this is a very good email. Later I will send it out for sharing. Because he read other website and he listened to some recording from other teacher and monks. Then he tried to explore. Then he tried to meditate based on what they taught him. Then he relayed the experience and he want me to help to explain further and develop the understanding, which was very good. But the thing I saw was he didn't get a clear grasp of what we have been sharing all this while. So this is a very good opportunity, because others also, especially those who are relatively new, you also should listen, especially those from Klang. Because these are very common mistakes. Thought-based meditation has this danger. And you do it without understanding, you become gullible and you are caught in it without understanding. And this will also bring about very good condition for you to develop the understanding or the cultivation. So this email was very good. You should thank Eric. We rejoice with his awesomeness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. After you understand, I will read it out to you. Because he also make a request to actually develop the understanding of the second and third noble truth. That's why he asked. Okay. So this was the email I received this afternoon. Then I replied before I went home. I will read to you his email question first. He wrote, "Dear Brother Teo, good morning to you. Lately, I've been listening to many of Ajahn Brahm's CD talks. There was a talk on meditation. In this talk, Ajahn mentioned that in meditation, we should meditate on craving. He said, meditate on craving. You listen. That comma, opening with a comma. He said, second noble truth. Is it the second noble truth? After as we discuss it. And letting go, bracket, third noble truth. Is third noble truth letting go? That's why you have to develop understanding. And how do you develop understanding? You're supposed to go back to the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. The Buddha proclaimed the four noble truths. That is the first turning. Then he proclaimed the second turning for all the four truths. Then he proclaimed the third turning. So if you have done that, three turning of the four noble truths, you will be very clear about the four noble truths. You will not get into this situation. Yeah. Then I read on, maybe you can get a better understanding. Then he said, so this week I tried meditating on these two noble truths. And below is my reporting of my meditation to you. First, he said, when I meditate on craving, there were so many images, evil faces, my superior's faces, the words that they had used on me, the feeling of fault-finding, frustration, sadness, anger, anxiety, and so on. I did nothing but just aware. This part he thought he did it rightly. But the images and feeling keep coming to my mind during the craving meditation. So if you have just done nothing and just aware, how does the image come? Understand? Image cannot come. But because he do what type of meditation? Craving meditation. Got such meditation, you go and think of craving. The Buddha never teach this type of meditation. We are craving meditation means what? He go and think. He use thought to recall how he get into all this unhappiness, mind state. How the superior and the boss do all those things. That's why he already have a perception of who they are. Evil, superior, boss. Because these are still deep-rooted type of conditioning inside and so, because this is how he view them and so, through what? Your perception of them, because you're very angry with them, you think they every time make life difficult for you. Not to say it may not be the truth, it could be the truth, but why should you perceive them that way? And so, meditation is about understanding how you become like that, how the evil roots come about and all those things. Not to justify your position, nothing about right and wrong. So if you are not mindful, you keep on allowing your views and condition you to perceive them that way, then no matter how you meditate, you will still have anger, unhappiness towards them and so on, because you cannot straighten your view, you cannot reverse how you perceive them. That's why he was struggling. He was having a lot of problems. Then he said, later on, I read on the question, then you will know. Then after that, he continued. Then when I meditate on letting go, this one is even more fantastic. Meditate on letting go and forgive my superior. Then he said, my mind was calm and peaceful. So you think this is good, good result. After I explain, then you will know. Because this one, he only make use of one of the five ways that the Buddha taught, which is still thought-based. The first way, he think of the direct opposite, unwholesome thought as well. Instead of getting angry with them, perceive them with negativity. Oh, now, very, very kind, I forgive them. Understand? Then, I let go. The word let go. Who let go? The one that has delusion want to let go, cannot let go. It's only thought, understand? So thought-based meditation is like that. It's not effective. it cannot root out the defilement. Because it doesn't understand, there is no wisdom. You only reverse the mind state. So think of the direct wholesome thought. So not like those who read it metta. May my superior, my boss be well and happy. But when you don't like him, how to wish him well and happy? So it's all thought. So you like suppress your unhappiness because you were told this is loving kindness meditation, this is letting go meditation, this is forgiveness. And then you gullibly do, like you related to parenting. But he really from the heart has forgiven. There is no more anger. There is no more dislike or negative perception. Actually, you don't need to do because you don't have that mind state already. So the four right effort to abandon, never done. The right effort to cultivate wholesome, maybe did a little bit. So all this is only bits and pieces of the cultivation. But you do without understanding, that's why you end up like that. And this is a very good example. Most people are caught in this. Yeah. So I read on, then you will understand. During craving meditation with those images and mixed feeling, does that mean I am still unable to let go of my past, of what I have gone through? Yeah, see, now he starts to question. Am I categorized as a shit collector rather than the egg collector? That one you ask yourself. And that's how you do that type of meditation. Why I'm asking is because I want to explore further. And there is a very good intention, because he really wants to understand. He wants to explore further. That's why the condition came about. And it's a good email. He brings forth the condition for others to learn. So he himself also can learn. Then later on he said, I have two sets of personal aspiration. My first aspiration is that in this life, I just want to have peace and happiness before I leave this world or this life path. Then my second aspiration sounds crazy. He used this word. Actually, it's not crazy. For you in that mind state, you will want to do this. But it is my aspiration. Many wants to achieve or realize Nibbana. But I just wish to have rebirth again in this world. And have Angeline, my wife, Brian, my son, and Lynn, my daughter, together with me again. Why? It's because I feel that I have not done enough in carrying out my responsibility as a husband and father to them properly. I was not there when they needed me the most. I do understand the Buddha saying nothing is permanent. Do not have any attachment. But to me, it's my wish in my next life to guide, to lead and nourish my family with full of loving kindness, happiness, and the Buddhist, following the Buddhist way. So this is very sincere, very kind of you, very full of responsibility of you to do that. But all these are very noble, thought-based type of understanding. It is an improvement. Because at least now you know you have a duty towards them. And when you do that duty, your life becomes beautiful. Family unit becomes beautiful. You develop wholesomeness. Karma-wise, you will become beautiful as compared to last time. Like you mentioned, when they need you the most, you were not around. Because at that time, you don't have the Dhamma, you don't understand. So these are very beautiful aim and wish. That is your life. It's up to you to aspire whatever you want. So you go through this phase, you will also grow and progress beautifully. Understand? So nothing to worry. Then I read on. Question is doing such aspiration, does it come purely from oneself or our thought are controlling our mind? So I have answered your question. Last but not least, is it possible if Brother Teo can share with us tonight in your Dhamma talk tonight on the second and third noble truth to enlighten me further. This is a very good request. I replied, yes, I will do. But the last one, you have to be careful, huh? Your listener. Also, how can I be in jhana, profound stillness and concentration, in bracket, stay, question mark. Thank you in advance, brother. I never teach this type of jhana, profound stillness. I never teach. This is energy field and concentration. I share with you on the silent mind, the natural state of silent mind, not in a conditioned state, not in profound stillness. It can be in very stable stillness, silent, but not the one like described here, profound stillness and the word concentration, one-pointedness, focusing, absorption. I don't teach this type of meditation or this type of so-called mind state. You want to learn this, you go and see those who teach this way. Anyway, I will read to you my reply, then you will understand clearly. I said, dear Brother Eric, you are still not clear about the essential Dhamma and the cultivation as taught by the Buddha. You do not have clear understanding, and you are still quite confused about the practice of meditation. So this one is to guide you, to let you understand. Because when you are clear and focused, you will not do this style of meditation. That's why in the internet there are a lot of things. You have to filter them. You have to develop your own understanding. That's why the four noble truths and its three turning is the most vital. Even the Buddha to be at that time in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he mentioned, if he has not developed the three turnings of the four noble truths, he cannot proclaim to be the enlightened one, to be the Sammasambuddha. Even he himself with such parami, he must cultivate the four noble truths and his three turning. What more, living being? That's why that is where the teaching come from. That is where you develop the understanding. Then when you understand the three turning of the four noble truths, your understanding of his essential teaching or essence of the Buddha's teaching, which is the four noble truths, will be very clear. And you will not be deluded. Then I read on, then you understand. You should go back to the cultivation of the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths to develop a clear understanding of the Buddha's essential Dhamma. The second Noble Truth is not craving, and the third Noble Truth is not letting go. Those who know, they will know. So I will explain. The Buddha under the second noble truth proclaimed that. Before I answer, what is your answer? What is the second noble truth? Cause of? No, cause of suffering, not cause of craving. Craving is the cause of suffering. So the second noble truth is about samudaya, the cause of arising of suffering, dukkha. It's not about craving. The cause is craving. But second noble truth is not craving. It's the cause of the arising of suffering, which is craving. Then what else? Wait. I read again. The cause of the arising of suffering. The Buddha under the second noble truth proclaimed that the cause of arising of suffering is craving, born of self-delusion. This is very important, or sakkaya ditti. Then under the third noble truth, the Buddha proclaimed that suffering need not be, and that the realization of nibbana leading to the end of all suffering is possible in the here and the now. The Buddha never said third noble truth is letting go. He never teach like that. So there is no such teaching. So you have to be careful. Then I ask the question, so how can you meditate without understanding? Then I say, regarding your question, when you say, when I meditate on craving, so many images and all those things come. I answer you, how can you meditate on craving without understanding? What are you supposed to do to train your mind to be heedful, to be aware of what? Here is where the answer is. You are supposed to reflect and inquire into the second noble truth to understand the cause of arising of suffering, which is craving born of self-delusion. And you are supposed to develop the clear understanding of what constitutes craving and what constitutes self-delusion. These two you never do. You don't even know what is craving, and you don't even know what is self-delusion. Then the first number truth, what is suffering also, you haven't understood. And you want to meditate on craving. There is no such meditation as that. When you meditate means you silence your mind and don't do anything. You mention, but you never silent. The real silence is not with the thought, because you use your thought, you recall through memory. That's why the images all come. Then you recall through memory all the words that they use against you. Then your views and opinion, your perception about them all come out through memory, through your conditioning. And that is thought-based, heavily thought-based, and you never see. You're supposed to be mindful and aware. Now I read on. Then you are supposed to be just aware with the silent mind to understand what? How the unarisen craving come about. Understand or not? That's why when you're silent, you will know it's through your thought, your memory of what you recall. That's why thought project. Thoughts arise because respond to memory, conditioned by your views and opinion. That's why such thought come to be. This is the cause of arising of this craving. Your attachment to your views and opinion. Attachment to your views and opinion of what you have formulated in your brain through your habitual tendency and so on. Because you hate them so much. You don't like the way they approach you. You don't like the way they scold you and tell you how. And sometimes put words into your mouth and all those things. Why do you cling and hold and develop that type of wrong view to perceive them that way and react and become unhappy, miserable? This is how craving come to be. When you silent, you can see what you are doing inside there, your form and mind, how it stir the unarisen hindrance, how it come about. The unarisen greed, hatred and delusion, wrong view, that stir your mind and condition you to perceive things that way. You start to see them, understand or not? That if you don't retain this type of memory, this type of wrong view, if you start to understand this very clearly, then you start to straighten your view, like what Alicia has gone through after listening. This is the cause of suffering. First noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. You have not done first noble truth, you want to come to second noble truth. That's very difficult. So when the first noble truth of suffering has been understood, means you know what is the cause behind, which is craving, born of self-delusion, because you think there is a person, self, me and my superior, me and my boss, then they did this to me. That's why this one becomes emotional, unhappy, angry. That's how your wrong perception come about. That's how you become agitated, unhappy. Then you use thought to meditate to reverse all this. How can you do that? How can thought free you? You're supposed to develop wisdom and understanding. Instead, you go and rationalize things. Then you try to justify, okay, I forgive, I let go. You are lying to yourself. Who let go? The thought try to let go. Thought that is egoic, still have craving, still have delusion, still have fear and unhappiness. How can it let go? Thought can never understand. That's why you need to have awareness, mindfulness, And what does the Buddha teach? How to abandon unwholesome thought, wrong thought, and how to straighten your view. The Buddha taught you what? 5 ways, remember? First way is what? Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, so that your thought is respond to memory. When your memory have wholesome thought, that's why he second time when he do forgiveness, yeah? And what they call letting go. Then when he arise the direct opposite wholesome thought, he become more calm and more peaceful. Understand? Where you no longer have hatred, you are willing to forgive. But if he has developed the wisdom to accept them for what they are and be at peace, and that is straightening your view. And that is contemplative wisdom born of the second noble truth. Because if I have wrong view that condition me to perceive them like that, then how can I overcome this wrong view? How can I straighten my view? How can I next time when I recall to mind, when I see them, I will not respond this way? That's why you have to learn to see things as they are. Develop the understanding that they are just form and mind. Then there is no sakyadity. Then you also a form and mind, a tool and a vehicle for you to come to this world to use, to help you to develop wisdom and understanding, to develop the meditation. And then you start to understand it differently. Then with the understanding, you are no longer deluded by this form and mind, that form and mind, and you can accept everything for just the way they are. That's how slowly through the second turning and the third turning, you develop the wisdom. I read on, then you will understand. You are supposed to be aware with a silent mind to understand how the unreasoned craving comes to be, then to follow the Buddha's second turning advice that states, the cause of suffering, which is craving, is to be abandoned or severed. See? Remember? So how do you abandon it? That's why there are 5 ways. Think of the direct opposite, wholesome thought. Second one is what? Think of the consequence of holding on to this unwholesome thought, which is the evil root of all evil. It makes you evil. All this first and second matter is thought-based. That's why he said, think of the direct wholesome thought. Understand not? Think of the consequence, the danger. These are not all you think, understand not? And these are not permanent solution. You cannot root it out. But the third way, he never asks you to think. He just says silent, just aware. And you will understand. Because the moment you're aware means what? All your anger, fear, worry, anxiety, unhappiness, whatever conditions state that arise through your wrong view, they will cease to be on their own. Because they are condition arising. If you just silent, don't do anything, the original state of inner peace, inner awareness and stillness, they will return. The original state of mind before the stirring, before the wrong view, before the reaction, they will come back to you. That's why you realize your true nature, your true mind is already peaceful. Without thought is very peaceful. Without views and opinion to stir and to react, you are very peaceful. When you can accept them for what they are, when you can come to terms with the realities of this world, you are very peaceful. That's why meditation is very simple. Don't do anything. Just silent, relax and aware, maintain awareness. Do not judge, do not react, do not perceive with negativity. Develop wholesomeness. That's why the 4 right effort. First, right effort to abandon the wholesome thought that has arisen. Then, after you have developed the ability to abandon, you will have the mindfulness to see clearly before it arises. You will have the ability to arise the right effort to prevent it from arising. Next time. First one is the arisen unwholesome thought that has arisen. You must arise the right effort to abandon it. Then later on, prevent it from arising. Then the third and the fourth right effort is to arise the right effort to cultivate those wholesome thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you. And all these are the cultivation. But you never do. You just gullibly believe people say forgiveness, meditation. If you do it with thought based and parenting is not going to work. You have to reflect, contemplate into it. If people hate me, they will suffer. Negative energy that come have negative karmic effect. If I hate, it's an evil root, root of all evil. This format might become evil. It will create negative karma. So you have to reflect. If I don't hate, if I forgive, I free myself. Why? Because the evil root no more. When I can forgive, means I don't hate anymore. And this is the real meditation. This is the real contemplation. Then you realize all this foolishness that you have done early on, how you create the wrong view to hate that person, to dislike that person, and how you hold on to all the memory of what they use against you, the words and all those things. And what are all these words? Sankara. And what did the Buddha say? Sankara anicchang, sankara dukkang. Sankara is impermanent. If you hold, suffering arise. Yeah? You attach, you cling, you hold on to your views and opinion on what he is and who he is. And what aggregate is it? Views and opinion. They are sankara. They are the third aggregate of mind. And you hold on and cling on to what you perceive him as. So all the aggregate of feeling, perception and sankara you perceive, you attach, you cling. That's why that is the cause of suffering. And that is wrong view, self-delusion, craving. So you should reflect contemplate and see all this. Then the foolishness in doing all this, you will never do again. Because all this lead to suffering. This is not the way. Then this one is just contemplative wisdom, second turning, cintamaya panya. But you have to go into the third turning. You have to silence your mind and just silence and be aware of what is going on. Then you start to see how the unarisen hindrance come to be. Then when you do the third way, you just maintain silence and just aware. Then you realize craving cease to be, fear cease to be, anger cease to be, emotion cease to be. Then your mind return to the natural state of peace, inner stillness, and inner tranquility. Then you realize no need to do anything. Without effort, you are peaceful. So this is how peace can come back to you. But this third way doesn't bring about penetrative wisdom. That's why the Buddha moved on. This is just a very effective way to free your mind from suffering. But every time you got problem, you cannot be going back at home and sit or look for a quiet place to sit and become peaceful again. Then you go out into life because it's not rooted out. You only know how to become peaceful, but you cannot live life. Understand? Then the Buddha said, there is a fourth way. The fourth way is to trace the origination factor. How your mind stir, how your mind react, how you become angry, how it perceives people with this wrong view and develop the anger, the hatred, the dislike, all this. When you trace the origination factor, it's always from one of your sense door, the Buddha said. Either you recall through memory when you see that person again, or you hear some gossip, or through speech. Or when you recall to memory, like his so-called craving meditation, you recall to memory. So these three doors are very powerful. They are the cause of the arising of craving, suffering. So craving is the cause, and suffering is the end result. So when you start to understand how it arises, then the Buddha say, through this direct seeing, the silent mind meditation, you will trace the origination factor, how it arises. Then, using your wisdom, retrospectively reverse it. Means in future, when you think, or when you see that person again, or when you hear something, this one now, Alicia is very good. just now we're on the way, we got extra class. Chui was asking and all those things, relating her experience. And then Alicia said, if I were you, very simple, whatever will be, just let it be. But we say, no, if it's what is going to happen and all those things. You got two choices. Attach, cling, become miserable. Accept, be at peace. You become peaceful. But you can act with understanding, with love, with noble eightfold path. So the whole of meditation become very clear. But if you don't reflect, don't contemplate, you don't trace the origination factor, then you don't know how to reverse all this. So that's why you will, through this silent meditation, you will come to know, if I don't do anything, if I don't react, I'm at peace. Don't react means what? Like the Buddha said, learn to see things as they are. What is the meaning of seeing things as they are? Means what? Don't comment, don't react, don't do anything. Means accept them for what they are. And then you will start to recall what I tell you. Living beings are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Angry people say angry things. Selfish people say selfish things. Unreasonable superior and boss do unreasonable things. They are just the way they are. If you can accept them for what they are, you are at peace with them. Then you don't take it personally. Then Sakkaya Ditti does not arise. Then you tend to have understanding. Then you pity them. You have love. Just like Alicia now can understand. When he sees somebody going through the agitated mind, the unhappy state of mind, or suffering and depression, she can feel, and she feel pity, compassion. The mind is so sensitive now, it's so different from last time. Last time it's like a walking corpse. You know what is a walking corpse? Totally heedless and not mindful at all. Suffering without knowing what is suffering. So now not only she is aware, she can feel the suffering of other beings, sensitive to even living things, plants and all those things. There are many things that the nature just cannot do, we understand. And this is real meditation, transform you from inside out. And she every time say, I don't know why it's just like that, suddenly. He said, I don't meditate. I don't go and read all these things. The only thing she do is listening to my recording. Then keep on having joy, straighten her view. Then the faith very strong. That's why he even said in the car, I don't know how my hindrance gone, completely gone. Last time very kanchong, excited, completely gone. I said, because of your spiritual faculty, where she got faith. When she came after a while, she understand, then she got joy, then she got faith. So Saddha Virya is very strong. Then she developed mindfulness, you know, through what? Not only bowing, no, through listening mindfully, attentively to the recording, non-stop. No. There was one trip he told me, 8 or 10 days in China. He listened continuously in the waking hour, non-stop, attentively, mindfully, and so much joy, then keep on straightening her view. And that is how she transformed, she cultivated. That's why after that she connect, and the whole thing just understood. Then she starts to understand things by herself. Then now she like to read the Diamond Sutta. It's so full of joy and meaning. You all read also don't know what is written there. So dry. Oh, how come? From somebody who doesn't know Dhamma. 3 years ago, for the last 15 years before that, was full of suffering, depression and all those things. See psychiatrist. How come it can become overnight just like that? It's because the Dhamma start to work. That's why you must have faith. You must listen attentively. Of course, everyone is different. Not everybody has to do the same as he do. Some, they read. Some, they reflect, contemplate. Some, they meditate. That's why different people come different. Your her way is this way. You only need to develop spiritual faculty. And the whole understanding will come. But you have to reflect, contemplate, which she did a lot. That's why she listened, reflect, contemplate, and she laughed. There is joy. Then she continued to straighten her view. Straightening her view changed her completely, understand? She no longer do foolish things like before. All the sankhara, she know already, no point. Yeah, these are wrong thoughts that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, and negativity. Then I always tell her, it's only a thought, how come it has such power over you? Then she reflects, yeah, it's only a thought.
And all these are wrong thoughts. Torture me long enough already. Make me miserable long enough. Why do I want to think that way? No meaning. This is all delusion, psychiatry, self-delusion. Life need not be like that. Life can be so happy, so peaceful, so meaningful when I can just silent and be with the moment to live life. Life is so different, superior. Last time, small thing also, panic. Small thing also, reactive. Then fear of this, fear of that, worry about this, worry of that. He used to say, even the girl, the husband last time go somewhere, he must follow on, otherwise, pu'an. Now no more, now it's very different. Well, now there is so much joy. That's why meditation need to be done with proper understanding. I read on, then maybe you all can develop the better understanding. You are supposed to be aware with the silent mind to understand how the unreason craving or hindrance come to be. Then to follow the Buddha's second turning advice that state the cause of suffering, which is craving, is to be abandoned or severed via the five ways as taught by the Buddha. Are you doing all this? That's why you are not doing all this. Wisdom cannot arise. You cannot root out. You cannot straighten your view. You will be the same old self. You will be only more calm and more peaceful when you are in a retreat, or when you are doing the thought-based so-called thing or the direct opposite thought and all those things, like related level. Then you feel peaceful, like you know, rising. It makes you peaceful, it makes you calm, thinking. But you are not doing anything, nothing to disturb. That's why you are very peaceful. Except that this is not as powerful as the direct opposite wholesome thought. This is just to hold your mind to repeat something like chanting, thinking. At least it's better than heedlessly wandering off and having fear and all those things. This one keep you on the word, like the mantra. But mantra got faith. This is not mantra, this is verbalizing. So it makes you more calm, more peaceful, that's why in a retreat. But it doesn't change you. It doesn't straighten your view. That's why after retreat you come out, maximum 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you square one again. Because nothing changed, not rooted out. Understanding not there, you have not straightened your view, you have not traced the origination factor. You don't know how to reverse it, you don't have this type of contemplative wisdom and understanding, you don't have the direct seeing. And the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, you never do. So all this is what meditation is all about, but if you don't understand, you are not doing. That's why I ask this, are you doing all this? If you are not, then this is not meditation. What you are doing, based on what you have described above, is that you are not meditating, but instead you are thinking about craving via your thought-based visualization and reasoning, which is not awareness-based meditation to develop the understanding and wisdom via the third and the fourth way needed to free your mind. Understand? Eh? Now you can follow. Eh? You want me to read again? Eh? Understood already? If you cannot follow, you better tell me to read again. You want me to read again? Louder lah. Ah, Pai says the thought lah, not you lah. You listen again, attentively. This one is very important. What you are doing, based on your advice, based on your above description, I told him, is that you are not meditating. No, the word not meditating. But to me, to meditate is to be silent, to be aware, fully aware. But instead, you are thinking about craving via your thought-based visualization and reasoning. That's why you recall the memory, how your boss do all those things. That's why all the evil fate you describe it yourself somehow, and how your wrong view you perceive. So this is what you are doing. You are thinking about craving via your thought-based visualization and reasoning, which is not awareness-based meditation. Awareness-based meditation is to develop the understanding and wisdom via the third and fourth way. Remember? Third way is what? Just silent, aware. Then see what happens. Then whatever agitated state, fear or whatever, anger, selfishness or what, craving, lust, desire or whatever, it persists on its own. Then the fourth way is to trace the origination factor. How your mind stirred? Before Easter, it was peaceful. How come when that memory come, when you recall, either through what you hear, what you see, or what you think, you start to react? The unarisen hindrance starts to arise, or craving starts to arise. And then you realize this is due to your wrong view. Then you ask yourself, how can I perceive them without the wrong view, so that the next time when I see them, hear, or think, my mind will not stir. My mind will have the wisdom and the understanding not to react, not to stir. Means this is how you straighten your view. You have to learn to see them as they are, see things as they are, perceive them as they are, not to perceive them with negativity. That's why no right, no wrong. They are just the way they are. Thing is just the way it is. And you can have that mind. You are at peace. You don't have to react. You don't have to stir. When you accept them for what they are, doesn't mean you agree with what they do, understand not? You only accept them for what they are, understand not? Then, what happens? If you don't perceive in negativity like before and react, you are at peace, isn't it? You have clarity of mind. And then you ask yourself, what can I do? What are my options? Boss is like that, understand not? That's why in the internet, last time we used to have this joke. There are only two rules that the boss are interested in. First rule is what? The boss is always? Rule one. Rule two, whenever the boss is wrong, refer? So how you want to argue with this type of boss? Because rule one, the boss is always right. No such thing as you right, I wrong. He is always right. Then whenever you find that he is wrong, refer to rule one. So how can you argue with this type of boss? So last time I tell you one story. This is real happening. First month I report for work. What work, JKR? We got this boss, very senior one. He's a super skilled G from Singapore, you remember. You go in and see him with your design or whatever. He is the famous Mr. No, no, no. You go in, any design you present, no, no, no. He will tell you what to do. Then, whatever your design, how good you are, if you can get it approved within 3 or 4 sessions of no, 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 you're very good. Then there was one new engineer, first class honors, 1 year our junior. I still remember his name, Kwan Kam Seng. A very, very wise fellow. So he came later. You know. He reported later. We are after we were there quite a while. Then we like want to laugh. You know. Oh, your turn come. You see him. You will know. Then he heard about what we went through. You know. Well, he very smart. He come up with 2 designs. One very stupid one. One very good one. Then he go in. He said, I think the boss name is Mr. Lim. I got a problem, I need your advice. This project, I tried very hard, but I couldn't come out with the right decision, which design to use. Initially, I designed like that. What do you think? No, 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 no. Very lousy. All like that. What about this one? Somebody discussed with me. The 2 you look, you know. One is so lousy and one is so good. Ah, yeah, this one is good. You say, use this one. First round come out, approve. See? Boss is always right. So if you have some understanding, that's why you must know how to approach it. You have clarity. Yeah, he heard from us. Then he been quite clever, not wise. He said, because people have feeling and emotion in that I've been, understand? Because he's the boss, he decides. So you present him 2 designs, one very stupid and one very good. He will sure take the other one. He said, no, 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 this one cannot, lousy, use this one. But he also no need to think, understand? That's how you can get your work through, understand? So work doesn't mean boss difficult, you got problem. No such thing. You must know how to go the other way around to understand him. Then I got another boss, lucky best. You will never refuse him. He, director general, no, the biggest boss, and I knew engineer, fresh engineer, just report. He suddenly called me direct line, not through the secretary. He said, Mr. Teo, someone addressed me. Then I thought, don't know who was. I said, yes. Can I help you? He said, I am Mr. Chang. Actually, Chan Chang Heng, my director general. The moment I heard that word, I knew it was the director general. He said, sorry. I said, anything I can do for you? He said, no, I need a favor from you. He said, can you come out? I need you to help me to do something. Oh, DG say, director general need you to help, you fresh engineer. So I went out to his room. He took out the file. He said, sit down. He showed me the file. He said, I got some problem here. Received some call, very urgent. No water. Water works. No water in 100 district. He said, can you help me? Go down and check what happened. Reservoir full of water. Down there, one side no water, one side full of water. Oh, this type of problem. Actually, he wanted to test me. But luckily that day I went down, within 4 hours, I called him back. I said, problem resolved. Then he very happy. After that, he liked me like anything. So you know how to approach. What I'm trying to tell you is, no matter how the boss is, they have different character. You can approach them differently, because everyone is different, but no negativity. Don't try to cheat. Don't try to deceive. Be sincere. Don't know how to do means don't know how to do. Go in and ask. I appreciate you can help me or advise me because you're more experienced, more senior. I really find it not easy to understand. Is there anything like old file, old project or report that you can let me read through so that I can develop better understanding, so that I can do this better? You don't go and sit there panic, fear, wow, say hello, this type of report, the boss want it within 3 days. And sometimes boss just throw the file and say, I want this by next week, or before the end of this week, because I'm going out station. And you hold the file, you know you got problem because you don't know how to do it, and you don't know how to attend it. Then there is fear, worry. Why you stress yourself out this way? He's not going to eat you out when you don't know how to do one. Don't know how to do means tell him you don't know how to do. Then be frank about it, be honest about it. No need to fear. The worst thing he can do is scold you, tell you all. So how bad can that be? Then you just smile. If I have actually made you angry or unhappy, I'm willing to apologize. Sorry. I tell you, he will turn down. Yeah? He will look at you, this type of guy school also no use. okay, I think you take the other file, that one easier. Then you say, thank you so much. Next time, give me more of this type. And then that one, see who is more smart on the clever one you give to them. But for us, if you have understanding, you don't have to worry. I never have problem in my career. Everywhere I go, the boss like me. The company make a lot of money. That is a fact. Then somehow they really know that you are different. So when you develop understanding, you can actually settle and resolve things easily. Okay? So this is how you develop. I read on. The third and fourth way needed to free your mind. Without understanding or wisdom, you cannot understand and deal with craving. See? The key word is what? Without understanding and wisdom, only wisdom free, you cannot understand and deal with craving. Hence the reason why you still have the below problem as described by you. Then regarding your second question, when I meditate on letting go and forgiveness, my mind was calm and peaceful. My answer is, again here you are using thought base, visualization and reasoning, but via the first of the five ways as taught by the Buddha. That is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. That's why he think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, to forgive, then to let go of the mind that hold on to all this and become negative. So when you do that, that is the first of the five ways that the Buddha has taught, to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, to end craving. But this is only a temporary relief or solution, because it is still thought-based. Understand not? The first two ways are still thought-based, contemplative. Temporary relief, make you better, understand not? But not rooted out. That's why you can still stir the next time. So the only way to free is to develop wisdom through the third way and the fourth way. Then regarding the other question, your two sets of aspiration, my answer is very simple. It is your life, so you decide what you want to do with it. Based on your condition now, it's very obvious why your first aspiration is to just look forward to have peace and happiness before you leave this life. Because early on you got so much problem, suffering. Not only career, whatever, you got health problem, your family problem, your daughter's problem. Then at one time, even your wife lost her job trying to look after the both of you, the other children. So these are first noble truth reality that hit. And you was hit multi-prone. That's why for you, if you can really have moment of peace and happiness, you're already very happy. So it's very obvious why you wanted that. But you have fall short of what you want. To have peace and happiness, you must have wisdom. Understand? No? Without wisdom, this peace and happiness is only temporary, not a permanent solution. So what I have answered here is, but you must understand that without Dhamma understanding and wisdom, you cannot have, the word is true peace and happiness. Understand? No? What you have is temporary peace and happiness. Then you will become afflicted again. Understand? No? But now at least there is very good progress. You are very determined now. You are not so negative like last time. Small thing you react, get angry, then you just run away. Now you know how to attend to problem, you know how to ask for help, you know how to seek people to advise you and all things. So this is a great step forward. But you need to go beyond thought-based meditation to develop more and more wisdom and understanding. But ultimately it's wisdom that free and root out all this. Without wisdom, you will not be able to free your mind. Okay? Then we read on. Your second aspiration is the same, and it comes from your thought. So this one I have explained. You will think like that because you felt that you have let down on your family. There are so many things that you want to do after you have understood the Dhamma. You want to provide for them. Because last time when they need you most, you were not around. Because that time you don't understand. Most of the time you were busy, heedless, doing all those things. And you react to situation. That's why your mind state was never peaceful, never happy, never at peace, never calm. And because of that, it set the base for negative karma to arise. That's why everything hit you like non-stop one. I remember when you first came, you said, how come your life like that one? Everything also not right one. Why? Because negative mind state. You react, you create this type of negative mind state. The fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, lamentation, your unhappiness, your stubbornness, your wrong view. So all this set the base for negative karma to arise. That's why you cannot kao kao. Then you go to temple, they teach you how to do all the, which are not tangible, because they say you do good, you do donation, then you release bird, you release fish. I remember he reported, after doing all this also nothing changed. How can it change? Because you're supposed to do three other more important things. First thing is karma, understand? Ask for forgiveness. Then be sincere. Never to repeat all this. Then keep your precept, renew your precept, be sincere, then cultivate virtue, cultivate the spiritual faculty, listen to Dhamma, straighten your view, share merit, transfer merit, rejoice, then pay respect to Triple Gem, take refuge. So these are the meritorious actions. So if you do all this, then you invoke the power of merits for causes and conditions for your daughter to recover, for you to have the wisdom to overcome your career problem, for you to go back to normal life, normal state of mind and all things, even your daughter. All these are tangible. That's why later on, when your daughter recover, you have faith. Then you came, then you improve. Then you introduce to your sister in Singapore, Singwa, and now she touched the heart of many friends and colleagues. This is how your wholesomeness, your merits manifest. Like this, like you help your sister, then they help others, then they touch others. That's why you have condition when you are in deep trouble. You are in your past, you have mixed karma, a lot of negativity. You have to pay back all this. But because you have also helped people like this, like you help your sister and other things, then you meet Sui An help you. At first when you come, you yourself say that, remember, you cannot understand head or tail or what I say completely for 2-3 months. Don't know what is going on until when the daughter recover. Because daughter has faith. The wife also has faith. Then later on when the daughter recover, the daughter was beautiful, she has good mind. Then our Thursday class blessing, there was one day, I remember. I think the 5th or 6th time, I forgot already. The moment we invoke the power of this marriage and we share transfer, then I felt something. Then I knew she is going to recover. Then the next day, Friday, Suyan received a call from the mother, say she is better now. Well, at first when she went through the thing, she react some complication initially. Then later on, after the day, then I told Suyan, yeah, meant to be, he will recover. Then after that, she recovered beautifully. Because the condition has fallen into place. They have the patience. They are willing to change. Then I think they must have done some of those forgiveness and all those things. Then later on, they became much better. The situation turned around and his career also, I think, become much better. So that's why you see him now more calm, more peaceful, more happy. That's why the first aspiration is to have happiness and peace. That is already a good wish, a good bonus to him. That's why he wished for only that. Then he wants to repay the family whatever he has not done, the duty towards them, the responsibility. And these are very wholesome. So I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So you can continue to do that. Then after that, you said, last but not least, is it possible for Brother Teo to share with us tonight in your Dhamma talk on 2nd, 3rd, 12th meditation to enlighten me further? I answer, okay. But please remind me to do so. As I just I saw his face, I remember. So we have answered that one. Then your last one also, how can I be in jhana, profound stillness and concentration? That type of jhana is energy field, condition state. As I answer, sorry, I don't teach this type of jhana meditation. So I hope you understand. Not to say I don't know how to do. I know how to do. But no point. I was trapped in there for many years too, initially. I started doing it when I was in the university, first day when I reached the university, that night itself. Then later on, it continued until I graduate. Then after I graduate, when I started to touch money, then I realized that type of concentration, absorption, has not rooted out the wisdom. The wisdom has not come out. It cannot root out the defilement, sorry. So that's why I realized when I touch money, when I came out to work, when I don't meditate so often, when there is no more this jhana energy of absorption energy, stillness energy, it starts to move again. Then cravings start to arise again. I want to become lawyer, I want to become successful in life, I want to have financial. Then this craving mind starts to move. Then because I got some form of mindfulness from my past life, the nature, I start to see all this. Then I realized this is not the way. I straight away recall the Buddha's example, analogy. a glass of water, clear water. If you don't stir, it will appear clear. But if you stir, the sediment will come out, means not rooted out. So conditioned state, jhana, energy field, they are like all this clear water with the dust. Anusaya still suppressed, cannot come out because of the strong energy field, the conditions. So you like enlightened, but that is not the real one because the anusaya, the latent tendency is still there. So that type of energy field, concentration, meditation, if you do, you better be careful because the non-human will come after you. The Surangama Sutta already very clear. Wu Si Ying Mo, they will come after you and you will get into deep trouble. Yeah. I was very lucky because I never use it. I never play with it. I only understand that state. Then I hold on to it because it helped me in my life and my study at that time. At that time, I like to stay alone. I go, they call picnic. I like to sit alone, silent, and I just smile. We are inside very still. But I realize it's all conditioned state. That's why I can share with you on the Samatha Vipassana meditation talk. So all this, you will come to understand on your own. Oh, almost time, huh? Just in time to end. We got 1-2 minutes. You got any more question? If no more, then we do our sharing of marriage, transfer marriage. Then I will see you next month. 3 weeks. I will only be back in end of May 24. I don't know whether I got any Thursday or not after that. Or the end of May, one Thursday, yeah, can. Then after that, we have our Sumeru retreat. Joyce, when is the visit? Will it be during the retreat or before? Before better. Before better. Do that before better. You check it, Michael. Because that weekend, we can go before the retreat. The retreat is second weekend. Okay. Next class is May 28th. Then that weekend, 29th, 30th or 31st. 30th is Saturday. So last time, whoever who missed, make sure now you remind them, especially Tuesday class. A lot of them say they don't know about the Sumeru visit. Better before. I want to go and see. He need not be around that visit. I want to see that place, the retreat on, the accommodation and all those things, so that we can have an understanding of how many can really go. I understand many want to go. Please forgive us. Even Sri Ann try very hard. Because so far, no. The moment the WhatsApp come, suddenly 5 left. They're suddenly taken out within minutes. Then there are some who say, I don't need to stay 1 hour. Then put in 3-4. We see how it goes. You don't be disappointed first. If you really want to come, I think there are ways to come. The worst is you sleep in your car. Or you drive home. There are some who want to drive home. So okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transform merits. Then you make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas, a mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform marriage to departed ones. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to all departed relatives and those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will now chant the blessing for our nation. Devo asatkalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Then now you make your aspiration. Itmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang gamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha.